Conference is being recorded.
Okay. Read the Shaughnessy and or Canole and Higgins article, then select area to narrow focus and select 1 to 2 readings that everyone reads for September. This is August for September meeting. So do we want to talk about the articles or do we want to just jump right into trying to narrow our focus?
Well, the articles were quite lengthy, so I would say maybe just pick a topic of interest of each of us.
Okay.
Or not. I mean, whatever. Flexible.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Aisha. I'll just say that in the Shaughnessy article, I got very interested on page 962 when they started to talk about models for statistical thinking. Mm-hmm. I had not seen this before, and I went ahead and looked at the Wild and, is it Fankuch?
Yeah.
I went and looked at the actual article that this came from, and I mean, I just kept having to ask myself if these are the processes or the steps that I actually use in my class and model with my students, and just recognizing that there were some things that I was missing out, some steps that I wasn't really, you know, highlighting in terms of going through the entire process. That was really interesting to me too. But I spent a lot of time, you know, I got really sidetracked by this whole statistical model thinking and these different dimensions that they spoke about. So, I mean, as we start to narrow our focus, I don't know if it would be useful for us to really start thinking about what is statistical thinking versus mathematical thinking or whatever else it may be. Because if we're talking about language, I think it might be interesting to look at how students approach language versus how students approach just statistics in general, which is, I think, what we were doing, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aisha, I actually highlighted that same area. I was
interested
also in the word, they said they the invented word transnumeration,
mm-hmm.
And they went on and explained that, and I have that highlighted all over the place. I just thought that was really neat.
Mm-hmm.
And also they used tinker plots a little bit to explore that, too.
Right.
I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I got interested in the models, too, just in thinking of, okay, this is so broad when we say looking at language, exactly
mm-hmm.
how are we going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of helped me start to think about, well, we have a model and we've defined what it is that we're looking for, kind of going off some of the models that they presented, the SOLO, the SOLO is kind of what I was looking at in evaluating the language of the students in stats.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it might guide us in coming up with, well, what questions do we ask our students and how would we code them?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we can identify what needs further investigation.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like the people who have spoken thus far are really thinking that perhaps this model for statistical thinking is something that we need to explore a little more closely.
Yeah.
I think I'm supposed to be doing the summary thing, right?
I think I am. Well, you're supposed to be moderating, but yeah.
Okay.
And I think in the end I will put it all together and say, okay, this is what we talked about.
Okay.
Set this out.
Okay. Does anyone have the question, the specific question that we came up with? Does anyone have that? Because when I look back at my notes, I kind of had like 3 or 4 different bullets. Does anyone have the main question we were thinking about?
I don't think we agreed on
that. I think we had a
question.
I think that's kind of what we're trying to get to.
Okay. So where were we? What did we have?
We pretty much just had the area that we're interested in looking at language and statistics. And
okay.
It's exactly what about it and how to look at it. We hadn't really, I guess that's what we'll be doing this year with all our reading.
Okay.
Get what's out there about language and where can we fit in and where can we add something?
Now, Jennifer and Georgette, I know that Nairadzu has done some work on this language and statistics. Would it be okay with you guys if she just kind of talks to us about what she knows already?
Absolutely.
Nairadzu, are you okay with that?
Uh-huh.
Are you okay with that?
Sure.
Sure. What I've done so far is really just what I presented at the last two ASCOS or US COS, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And poster presentations, and the first one was looking at just going off students saying it's like learning a foreign language.
Mm-hmm.
That got me interested in looking at, well, how do you learn a foreign language, and can we use those strategies that you use in learning a foreign language in teaching statistics? So I just did a lot of reading in language acquisition literature and picked out some strategies that they suggest for, you know, for that, and kind of did a parallel with, okay, in statistics, what would that look like?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, and that was not something that was, that I tested. It was just, okay, this is what it might look like.
Okay.
The follow-up, I picked one of them, which was distributed practice versus mass practice.
And can you repeat that? What sort of practice?
Distributed.
Okay.
Versus math.
Okay.
And I tried that with two courses that I teach, well, the same course that I teach in different quarters and different forms. One is more distributed and one is math, in that we meet often for shorter periods of time, and the other one we meet once a week for a longer period of time. And I wanted to see if there was a difference. You know, this is just my classes, so
mm-hmm.
A representative sample, and I found that there was a difference in some of the non-cognitive issues, factors that I looked like anxiety and attitudes and self-efficacy. It seemed like there was no significant difference,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I only did that once.
Okay.
So this is something that I would like to look more into and maybe look at their statistical knowledge in addition to the non-cognitive factors. Also look to see, well, do they learn better? Do they retain the information better by how I structure the class?
Okay.
So far that's pretty much what I have. I mean, there was change over time, which was encouraging in both,
mm-hmm.
in both groups. So I guess I'm not hurting anybody so far.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'd like to see as far as their achievement. And because my tests are not exactly the same, I couldn't really compare directly.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking with some of the tests that we've talked about at the conferences,
mm-hmm.
that look at statistical reasoning, that we can have a test that is comparable across different groups or even different universities, so we can see of that, what that looks like when you look at achievement.
Nara, so when you were, this is Aisha, and you guys, if you think I'm talking too much, just cut me off, okay? Nara, so when you were starting your research into this, are there other people who are doing, other people in statistics who are doing this type of research into language? I know the group that we met at USCOTS, I know they were more talking about the words themselves, do you know what I mean, as opposed to teaching strategies. Do you know if there's anybody else who's doing anything related to what you were talking about in statistics?
Not something directly, but I kind of looked at what is the goal, why are we teaching statistics? And there was, I think it was, I forget which journal, but there was a special edition in one of the AMSTAT journals.
Uh-huh.
Looked at statistics literacy, and this was one way that I was thinking of, well, if we want people to be statistically literate, what does that look like? On that own road where she talks about that, but she also says that there's no, nobody's saying how exactly to do it. People agree that it's important to be statistically literate, to be able to reason statistically,
mm-hmm.
but there's no sort of that same kind of agreement in terms of, okay, how do you do it? So different people have suggested different things, just in terms of instruction. And I don't think there's a lot yet out there on measuring that we actually are making people more statistically literate. So it's something that people are starting to look at, but not necessarily looking at language specifically,
right,
but looking at literacy in statistics.
Right.
And I just, you know, usually when you hear literate, you know, actually some of my colleagues think we shouldn't even use that. It should only apply to language.
Hmm.
So I think that's kind of what got me going, well, what is it? And
okay,
how does that relate to language?
Okay. Jennifer?
Yes, there's a reading that I actually wrote down that I as we were reading through Shaughnessy, the researcher, is it Gal, G-A-L, Gal?
Gal, Ido Gal.
Uh-huh.
From a 2002 article, and I found this article on the CauseWeb site. It's called Adult Statistical Literacy, 2002,
yeah,
and it's Meanings, Components, Responsibilities from the International Statistical Review.
Uh-huh.
I jotted that down because that was a something that interested me, in addition to the WILD models that we were looking at too, and just talking about statistical literacy, I thought I'd throw that in there too. I did write that down as a suggested reading.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I also, this is Jeanette. I also was interested in Gal's research because I think a lot of the articles were talking about K through 12, and I'm really looking for something I can apply, you know, in
right,
my own classroom. So I was particularly interested in Gal's work as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it sounds like there are two types of research that we need to do, at least two different things we need to look into, just looking into the idea of statistical literacy a little more, and also perhaps based on what Naradzu said, going into the theories that are already developed for like foreign language and so forth. Does that sound about what you guys are hearing? Like two main areas we need to look at?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like moving from, okay, so you can do the computation, you know how to read the formulas, but what is that telling you? You know, so being able to talk about, so when I'm thinking about language, I'm thinking of that kind of area of it, of how do you talk about the results? When you listen to the news, how do you make and talk to somebody, you know, without the mumbo-jumbo of statistics, but how do you... So, because, I mean, students always say things like reject the null hypothesis. It's like, okay, because they've learned the rule, p-value is less than the alpha level, reject the null hypothesis. But I'm more interested in, okay, what does that mean in the context of what you're looking at? Can you talk about it?
Yeah.
So, and I found that, well, with my students, that was lacking. That's what got me kind of, okay, we need to talk about language. And can they speak statistics?
Well, this is Rodetta. Maybe we could explore both angles and then see if the theories of language acquisition for foreign language, if that actually does impact, you know, our interest in statistics literacy.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean? We may decide it doesn't and then,
right,
you know, decide not to pursue that, but there's only one way to find out.
So, Naradzu, maybe I misunderstood. When you talked about distributed practice versus mass practice, is this one of the theories that you picked up from, one of the strategies from foreign language theory?
Yes. Yeah,
okay,
it is.
From language acquisition literature.
Right.
Okay.
And the yeah, I think I picked about three or four of them that I kind of focused on. And actually, I was, before coming out to Ascot, I was trying to build on that and write a paper that kind of looked at those.
Mm-hmm.
So basically just writing a paper around my poster presentation that,
right,
I, you know, that I could get published if,
mm-hmm,
I actually get down to finishing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to admit, I know absolutely nothing about language acquisition literature. So in terms of how Naradzu made a decision to track distributed practice versus mass practice, I'm not even quite sure if I know what that is.
Right.
Are you guys I was wondering if perhaps we can look into the language acquisition literature. What do you guys think?
Sure. That's definitely something we can look into.
It is a different area, so yeah, I don't want to, just because it's something that I've been working on, I don't want to weigh everybody, because, you know, it is a different area to take us into. Well, at least for me, I found that I was in area that I knew very little about, which is why I only focused on a few of the strategies that I could understand what they were talking about.
Right.
So,
go ahead, sorry.
I found in the readings that the term statistical literacy can take on so many different values.
Right.
Meanings. And I'm looking specifically, when we were talking about Gale, his work on page 964, 965,
mm-hmm.
966 of Shaughnessy's article. There's a lot in there, and I think they really tie together with what we were already talking about. I think we just need to maybe keep our options open, and then once we see, then we can narrow it.
This is Bob.
Can
I interject a couple things?
Yes, Bob.
Okay. One thing is, you'll also find in the Shaughnessy article later on, when they talk about reading graphs,
mm-hmm.
that's a part of literacy too.
Right.
So just to throw that into the mix. I was going to say that with distributed practice versus mass practice, or distributed learning versus mass practice learning, that's not just in language acquisition. That's a general... You'll find a lot of literature on cognitive psychology with studies on that. So you'll find a lot of different areas of learning where that's probably been investigated, the effects of distributed learning.
Mm.
So that's really rich. Then the next thought along that line is that for your next phone call, what we've suggested is that each person read a couple articles.
Right.
And so you could decide on different areas, and each person pick a different area, for example, and go find a couple articles to read in that area. You could identify four different areas if you wanted, for example.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you my last spot at this moment. I was just at a conference in Australia where Maxine Van Cook and Chris Wilde were there, and her name is pronounced Van Cook. Okay. And their students, one of their students and then also a student of Danny Benzie, they were taking different parts of that PBDAC model,
mm-hmm.
investigative cycle. And one student was very interested in question asking, how students pose questions, and how the questions differ depending either what stage they are in, kind of like writing drafts and rewriting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of looking at that. Sort of sophistication of the question and maybe the language in it. Another student, Danny Benzie's student, was interested in explanations that students offer for things that they see to justify them, and how do different students' explanations differ. So all those things were just little seeds of thought to throw out there that kind of came up as I was listening to you guys talk. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
In the Shaughnessy article, they also talk about reading the data, reading between the data, and reading beyond the data. Sounds like, you know, that kind of ties in with that explanation or the questioning, how you question, how much further you go. You just... data, or can you see what's missing and ask those appropriate questions, and can you extrapolate from what you know? So maybe that kind of ties in with that idea of statistical reasoning and understanding beyond just doing the procedural stuff.
This is Georgette on page 966 with the SOLO model.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that, you know, the five modes of reasoning, starting off very basic and then having different levels of complexity. So that would tie in with how students pose the questions depending on what level of reasoning they're
mm-hmm.
at, you know, and then even just knowing what level of reasoning our students are
I've never thought to pose that question to my students before I teach them, you know, for example. So, you know, how would that improve statistics teaching?
Like there's too many interesting things, and it becomes a little difficult to go, okay, how do we narrow this? I guess that's, you know, as we talk more, hopefully things will become a little clearer as to, okay, what area can we focus in on? Because on 965, they also talk about that, understanding the basic statistical terminology, and then using those that terminology in a real context and questioning claims, you know, so being confident enough to not just say, well, the numbers say, but to actually question them and critique things that we hear on the news all the time or in other media.
Mm-hmm. There's also, they mention on 965 about it's important for adults to web data literate, excuse me. So they do talk about their skills online as well, and to he actually they used the term unpack data, and I thought of you, Aisha, because you
yes.
said how do students unpack everything, but they were talking about unpacking data when they see it on the web, and I mean there's. Opening up more things than probably we need to open, but I just wanted to throw that in there as far as literacy can extend to the web data as well. And I know that for my Stat 2 students, we always, you know, actually Stat 1 as well, we definitely want them to get out there on the Internet and look for resources, data resources, but once they get out there, what happens? And they wouldn't only do that in our class. They would do it in other classes, we would hope, as well, government.
Right.
So that's a branch of the statistical literacy as well. Not to complicate things, but just
well, it's something we're all interested in, right?
Yeah. Well, out of everything that we've heard, what it says on the PowerPoint is that we should try to select an area to narrow focus. At least an initial area, or we can go with what Bob suggested and look at a few areas and just split up the reading or what you may have. But we have about, I guess, 25 minutes more where we can try to zoom in on something or someone or two things that we want to really look at. It sounds like literacy is really coming through very strongly. So instead of talking about, before we were talking about language of statistics, but it sounds like we're more talking about statistical literacy itself, which depending on, you know, and again, there are these different stages of thinking and all of that sort of stuff. So any suggestions to how we should proceed in the next 24 minutes, how we should use our time?
I'm thinking that, you know, we can look at, if we just look at literacy broadly, we can kind of look at different areas, like, okay, what is it? Because we're kind of working on the assumption that this is our goal. We want our students to be literate. You know, so what is it? What does it look like? And then maybe look at how you do it. So looking at those, what Bob was mentioning in cognitive psychology, some of those, how people learn, and seeing if we can get some insights from there on how we can then teach students. And then the other part, looking at the models that we've read about, how we might actually approach this. Like, what are we looking at? Are we looking at how students pose questions? Are we looking at how they read data? Are we looking at how are we measuring that level of sophistication that we talked about? How do we know that they're approaching literacy? So it looks like some articles have looked at this is what literacy is and this is what we should be looking at. And some articles talk about this is how you should measure it. And some articles have talked about this is how you should teach for it. So maybe we can kind of look in those areas in our reading. So, you know, somebody's reading in what it is, how you do it, and how you know it's happening. I don't know what a fourth area would be.
Well, I would think that the area on, you know, strategies for getting at statistical literacy, where you're going back and looking at all the psychology stuff, I would imagine that would be a pretty dense area. That I wonder if we would all like to take a look at, as opposed to select individuals. What do you other people think?
I'm interested in that as well. I'd like to have at least one article that we all read.
Right.
And then maybe we could branch off individually on something that is of our own particular interest.
Uh-huh.
Maybe.
Well,
acceptable.
Would it make sense to try to get one article on statistical literacy and then one article that has these theories in it?
That sounds good. Sure.
Now, Radu, do you have, I know you probably can't pull it off the top of your head, but do you have any sense of whether or not there is a good article out there that can give us some background on the psychology stuff, the cognitive psychology stuff?
Not the cognitive psychology stuff.
The language acquisition?
There was one, I'm looking it up right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or the American statistician from 2003
mm-hmm.
had a special section on statistics literacy.
Okay.
So they had several articles that talked about that topic, and so that might be a good place to start.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Could you send out a link to the article, or at
sure,
least you know the whatever the information we need to get it?
Okay, I will do that.
Thank you.
And any ideas for, do we just want to go ahead and each try to do some searches on the language acquisition literature stuff?
I have quite a bit of that, just because I've been looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if we look at that American statistician edition, we'll
uh-huh.
probably find in there the people that they reference and find some of those articles. So that might be a way to start, since they're talking about statistical literacy. We can see who are they reading, come
okay.
up with this stuff, and we can kind of work backwards that way.
On the CauseWeb website under the research, they do have a section, I believe, that specifically, I could be wrong, but I think it's specifically on statistical literacy. Under readings, Bob, do you know offhand? I want to say that I looked at it last night, and it was divided into sections for the readings for the literature.
You said under research?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If you go to CauseWeb, let me get on my computer. Because it a lot of those are the articles are right there. The links.
Oh, that's a good place to start.
The readings and publications? No, those are the journals.
Where they're the journal. Let's see.
Oh, the
maybe just
literature
the link
index.
To it. Yeah.
I was here a week ago. I don't know where to find it now.
So under research and then readings and publications.
Oh.
It's,
important readings?
Yeah, a list of important
yeah.
readings has...
Important.
Okay.
And then they have the core reading. And, okay, readings that summarize and synthesize the literature. Book
yeah.
Book ed.
They have three on statistical literacy. They have the Cobb and the Gao and Wallman.
Yes. Readings on statistical reasoning or thinking. Oh,
so we've got a...
There's Bob Delmas. comparison of mathematical and statistical reasoning.
There is a section on statistical literacy if you keep scrolling down.
Okay, mm-hmm. So that was statistical reasoning.
Uh-huh.
There we go.
Oh, so we've got, that's done our search for.
Oh, that's where I got that article. That's the article that I was referencing. The adult statistical literacy.
Right. Here's one that talks about how you can enhance it.
Yeah, the third one?
Yeah. Also, should we just then, in those two topics, reading on statistical reasoning or thinking and readings on statistical literacy, just read those, kind of get a sense of where we want to go and what has been done already in this area?
I think we should also at least take a look at the American Statistician volume, and it's volume 57, number 2, I think.
Is that from 2003?
Uh-huh, from 2003.
Okay.
I mean, not all of the articles in here are, you know, things that we'd be interested in, but some of them look pretty good and they're pretty short. Like, there's an article, again, by Gao, Teaching for Statistical Literacy, that's about 4 pages long, promoting statistical thinking among secondary school students, the getting of wisdom. All of these topics sound pretty good, and they're no more than 3 to 4 pages, 4 to 5 probably pages long, some of them. So I wonder if we can also take a look at that special issue.
Which one was that? Say that again. It was the American Statistician.
American Statistician, volume 57, number 2.
Okay.
And this is the 2003 special issue that Narazu pointed us to. I guess, Narazu, you're going to send us the link?
If I can, I don't know if there's a link.
Okay.
But I'll
write. Oh, right. I mean, I can find it. If I have that information, I'm all set. So.
Okay.
You don't need to send a link. But so we're all going to read the entire volume, or how do we, you know, how are we going to split? Are we going to split up the work? Are we all going to read the same thing?
Well, I'm looking at it, and, I mean, some of them, it doesn't look like the entire volume is about the general statistical literacy.
Okay.
Like, there are certain articles that talk about type 1 error inflation, fixing the F-test, how do statisticians perceive stats journals? It looks like there are only, let's see, it looks like there are only about 4 articles that are specific to statistical literacy. So do we each want to just take one?
Sure.
Okay. Sounds good. Sure.
Okay, so the first one is by us. And that's page 74 to 79. Anybody want to take that one?
I'll take it.
Who's I?
I'm sorry, this is Georgette. I'll take
it. Okay. The second one is by Gao, and it's page 80 to 84.
I'll take that one. Jennifer.
Okay. The third is by Boland, B-O-L-A-N-D, page 85 to 88.
Okay, I'll take that.
And I'll take the last one, which is by, it looks like Sowey, S-O-W-E-Y, pages 89 to 93.
Okay.
So we have, Georgette, you're taking the UTS, page 74 to 79.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer, you're taking the Gao, 80 to 84.
Yes.
Narazo, you're taking the Boland, page 85 to 88. And Aisha's taking the SOE, page 89 to 93.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
Okay. So that's just one article then, right, for each of us?
Right.
So
and then do we want to also split up the articles on the readings on statistical literacy?
There's only 3. I mean, that's fine, but there's only 3. One has 5 pages, one has 8 pages, and the other one has 50 pages. So...
what should we do?
So do you guys want to take those and I will look at the language acquisition since I already have those articles?
Okay.
That sounds good to me. Are you okay with that, Jennifer?
Yes, I lost them on my page. So there's the George Cobb, the Itto gal, the Catherine Wallman, those three?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know if we want to... Well, yeah, okay, that's good.
Okay, I'm going to volunteer to take the gal.
Okay, I think that what I was thinking is I want to read that anyway.
Okay.
I really want to read that.
Well, then that's fine.
But I think I would read that regardless, so I don't know if we want to then split it up. Or
okay.
If you want to take that, because you want to read it too, then I'll read another one in addition.
No, it's fine. You can take that, because Narazzo is going to find other articles for us. Right, Narazzo?
From the real
language
position, yeah.
Okay. So, okay, Jennifer, if you want to take the Gao, the 2002... Georgette, which one do you want?
I can read the other two. They're both, you know, just in terms of length. I can do both
well,
of them.
Well, you can read one. Well, which one would you want to read first?
I don't know. Can
we okay,
do
but,
both?
I mean,
it's like 10 pages.
I think we can still, I mean, we can all read all of them if we wanted to, but we just want to make sure that they're all covered.
That's right.
Yeah, because you know I'm also interested in these, so I'm just gonna read them because I'm interested, but I'm going to be focusing on a certain area, so we can just make sure we've covered all our kind of options.
Right, and trying to avoid also giving any you know
yeah.
having 200 pages of so I think everyone could read whatever they want
yeah.
as long as they cover their specific assigned article. Does that sound like it makes sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Georgette, how about if you do the Cobb?
Okay.
And I will do the Wallman.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the Cobb is in a book. So if you have issues getting the book, just email me and we can switch off. Do you see what I mean?
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So it sounds like Jennifer will do the Gao.
Mm-hmm.
Georgette will do the Cobb. Aisha will do the Wallman. And Narazzo would look for language acquisition articles.
Right.
A good one. Yeah?
Right.
No bad ones, okay?
No bad ones.
No opinion, which I consider good.
We trust you.
I caveat that I know nothing about language acquisition, so I don't know.
But you may know more than us, though.
My criteria for good is, can I understand it?
That sounds good to me.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody have anything to add before we move on to wrapping up and setting our next meeting and stuff?
I'm all set. This is Georgette. I'm fine.
Okay.
I was just going to add in, because there is so much that we're reading, if we just want to maybe come in to next conference call with some bullet points. That way we could be very to the point.
Right.
Yep. Great idea.
I don't know if it would help for us to keep a record of this as far as, and it just occurred to me that as we're making bullet points, if we just maybe forwarded that to each of us by email.
Isn't someone supposed to keep a record? Isn't somebody doing like minutes or something?
Yeah, that's me. I'm doing it.
But that's more of the meeting, not so much what we read in each particular article. So I think what Jennifer is talking about is, and correct me if I'm putting words in your mouth here, but it sounds to me like what you're saying is after you read each article, kind of highlight some key points and then share those with the group.
So do we...
So bullet points of, okay, this article is about this and here are some... things for us to focus on from that we got from each article.
That sounds like a great idea.
It might help to focus us, and it might help to if we were able to view that, you know, before the conference call, then we would kind of have an idea of what each of us has been spending time on. And you know how we start reading these 50-page articles, and
right.
you get kind of, you know, when you're in the moment, you're in those couple hours that you're reading it, it's great, but then you step away from it for 2 days and you don't remember what you read.
So how soon before the conference call are we talking about?
Oh, like a day. I don't know. ideally, it would be, you know, a week, but you know how our schedules go. It's kind of crazy.
does it make sense for us to perhaps, would the organizer then send a reminder saying, you know, it's due by date X at time Y, perhaps?
So maybe it can go with the reminder for the meeting. It can, you know, and just out in there to say, remember your abbreviated bullet points.
And then maybe we can create one document. I don't know if maybe the recorder could do that each time, but as we're going
through the article. Or the synthesizer. I could do that. Because that sounds like synthesis to me.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to put it all together.
I wonder if instead of, since now this synthesizer, I wonder if instead of getting, you know, three different emails, if it would make sense for us to send it to the synthesizer.
Oh, and then just send
it. And then have that person put it in one document. What do you think about that?
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Sounds good.
So we will send these to Niradzu prior to our next conference call?
Or whoever is the synthesizer. Whoever is the synthesizer.
Well, I am right now. So I can do that, and then, you know, the next person can do it for the after the next meeting.
Okay. Great.
Bob's just going to interject here that, so Niradzu, if you're going to be collecting them, maybe you want to be the person to send out the email reminders that they should send those bullet points to you.
Okay.
So that would be separate from the organizer saying.
Right.
Okay, so we've got 15 minutes left, just about. Should we try to, let's set up our next meeting time and rotate roles?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
In terms of rotating roles, should we just shift down?
Yeah. I think that's what we agreed, that we'll just shift down.
Yeah. So if we shift down, so this week Jennifer was the organizer, Aisha is the moderator, Niradzu the synthesizer, and Georgette the recorder. If we just shift down, Jennifer is going to be the recorder. Aisha is going to be the
moderator.
I'd be the moderator.
Are you going to be the moderator? Aren't we doing OMSR?
Mm-hmm, but I was the organizer.
Are we shift straight down?
Yeah.
Are you shifting up?
Down.
I'm shifting down.
So Jennifer will be the moderator, Aisha will be the synthesizer, Niradzu will be the recorder. And
I shifted the letters down. You're shifting the names down. That's fine.
Oh.
Okay.
I moved the letters down. You moved the names down. That's perfectly fine. Whatever.
What a bunch of math people.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Thanks.
So I'll be the organizer, Jennifer's the moderator, Aisha is the synthesizer, and Niradzu is the recorder.
That's correct.
Okay, I've recorded that. I have some questions about the organizer, and maybe Bob or Andy could answer this. Now, when I was the organizer, I emailed Gene Scott. Does the organizer need to do that every time?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Yes?
Yeah, because we'll get a new passcode or whatever to enter in and things like that.
Okay.
So.
And you've got to schedule that next meeting. You know,
yeah.
She won't know when it is until you tell her.
That's
okay.
Right.
I didn't. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So should we look at our calendars and figure out when that meeting's going to be?
So we have to meet before September 1st. I will be out of the country until August 22nd. Sorry.
Okay.
You act like it's summer or something.
It is! What is wrong with you?
Okay, so when do we want to do it?
It would make my life a lot easier if we could... I'm guessing, do we all have our fall schedules?
Yes.
For the most part?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It would be great if we can, you know, have a set time, like, you know, Mondays or Fridays or... whatever it may be.
Okay.
When do classes start for everyone?
September 1st for Aisha.
I think it's towards the end of September, like 20-something. That's when we usually start the fall.
Okay.
We start September 7th, or the September 8th.
Okay.
Okay, so the last week in August might be a good...
Uh-huh.
So Aisha's back in the country. Is anyone else going on vacation that week? Before, for me, it's the week before school starts. But...
No.
What about the 31st, which is a Monday? Are Mondays okay?
I like the 31st.
Bob and I can't do that, Dave.
Oh.
Okay.
But just that particular Monday.
Just that particular Monday, yes.
How about the Tuesday, the 1st of September? Does that work?
Did you say Tuesday, the 1st of September?
Yeah.
Yeah, she said they said by September 1, so that's fine.
I won't be able to do it at the same time we've done it today. I teach from about 12:30 to 4.
Okay.
So we would have to do it earlier in the morning. I don't know how that's going to work for me. I don't know.
Other time zones.
Yeah.
How much earlier? Okay, how much earlier than today?
Well, if you guys did it at 11, would that be 9 a.m. for Narazu? Excuse me, 11 my time.
I'll be in class.
Okay. No. how about, I guess it would be noon East Coast, 11 East Coast time would then be 10 for...
11 East Coast would make it, minus 3 would make it 8.
I won't be able to do 11 on Tuesday because I have class from 10:30.
Okay, maybe we should...
Should we try for Friday?
I have no classes on Friday, so Friday...
I'm open on Friday, too. Anybody else for Friday?
Friday the 4th?
Friday the 4th.
Yeah, I can do Friday the 4th.
Are you speaking specifically of every Friday? Every
no,
Friday
no, no.
On a Friday or just no,
just
Friday?
The first particular Friday.
Yes, I'm available then.
So thank you.
Bob, is this an issue because we're not meeting the by September 1 deadline?
No, it's not an issue at all.
Okay.
What's this interval thing, Aisha?
What's that?
Give or take 3 days.
Narazu, you've known me a little while. Okay, so it sounds like September the 4th. What time? 2 p.m.?
At the same time as today?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that works for me.
Yes.
2 p.m. Eastern time?
2 to 3.
2 to 3?
Yep.
Does it work for everyone?
Sure.
Absolutely. That would be my time, right? Just make sure, yeah.
Sounds good?
Okay.
Yep, got it down.
Okay, so everybody's got their role. Jennifer, moderator, Aisha, synthesizer, Narazu, recorder, Georgette, organizer. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yeah.
Georgette.
Email at the end of August to remind people to send me their bullet points.
Okay. Georgette, are you going to send us the write-up sometime soon? Or? Okay.
Yeah. It should be next week or two.
Okay. All right, and we'll talk again on September 4th, 2 p.m.
That sounds great.
Yep, sounds good.
And
then was Jennifer the organizer for today?
Yes.
Okay, and then Jennifer, with respect to this recording, I don't even remember how it works, but I think you'll get the information on, you'll get a URL where they can go to actually listen to the recording if they want to.
Uh-huh.
And so you can send out an email with that to everybody.
To forward it to everybody?
Yeah.
Or where they can hear it?
Yeah.
At the end of this call, does everyone just hang up, or do we have to do something special?
At the end of this call, everybody can just hang up, and then I think you have to stop recording. You stop recording by clicking a button. And then I think that Gene Scott may send you an email saying, here's where you can access the recording.
How to stop recording?
Well, did you click on a button?
I have directions here to record your conference. You press star 2 and then 1.
Oh.
But
just
I don't know.
Just do it again.
Yeah.
I have something to stop recording. I do have to get help. You can do star 0 for an operator.
Sounds good.
Well,
can we all do it?
I think if we all just hang up, it'll stop recording, but yeah. But that would be a good question to ask of Gene Scott, if there's something you're supposed to do specifically.
Bob and Andy, I'm just kind of curious. How did our meeting go?
How do you think it went?
Well, I think I got some direction into how the next step, but you've been to more of this. This is my very first one, so I'm just kind of curious, like, is this kind of how
I think you guys did a great job. We Andy didn't say anything, and I just butted in because I have to, because that's just my nature. You guys are doing just fine.
Okay.
I will say one thing, and then the floor is all yours. But if you go to, if you look up on Google and look up the National Research Council, they publish a lot of books, and one of the books, and all their books are available for free online. You can read them for free online. And one of the books they wrote that they put together was a kind of a synopsis of a bunch of very current cognitive and research on how students, basically how people learn things. Mm-hmm. And the book was called How People Learn. And you can read that online. And so there's a lot of cognitive and learning literature that have been synthesized very well in that book.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great.
Okay, guys, if there's nothing else, I guess we'll say goodbye.
Thank you.
Okay.
Guys, it's been fun. Let's do this again in another month.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.